Good morning, brethren, and happy Sabbath to you all and your family. And thanks to our Heavenly Father for this great opportunity to still study the Word of God and share the Word of God with one another. Today, I'll be talking about a split sermon title that says, Closing the Gulf. Closing the Gulf. The Gulf here is spelled G-U-L-F. And I got this title from the parable that Jesus Christ told about the rich man and Lazarus. So I'll go straight to Luke chapter 16, verse 19 to 26. The book of Luke chapter 16, from verse 19 to 26. I'm going to paraphrase a little, then I'll let you know the verse that I will read. So this was a parable that Jesus Christ told us about a rich man who dressed in purple linen and fed sumptuously. And Jesus Christ told us also about a poor man who laid at his gate seeking to feed from the foods that fell from the rich man's table. And Jesus Christ also told us that this poor man, Lazarus, had sores all over his body so that sometimes the dogs would come and lick his wounds. But when the rich man died, and the Lazarus also died, the Bible said that Lazarus was carried by the angel into the bosom of Abraham, where he was comforted. And the rich man found his place in a place of torment, himself in a place of torment. From there, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. And he cried unto Abraham, pleading for mercy, that Lazarus should dip one of his fingers in the water to cool his thirst. And I want to read for us what Abraham answered him. So if you turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16, from verse 19. So I'm going to read from verse 25 now. 25, Luke 16, 25. And Abraham said, Son, remember that you in thy lifetime received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. 26. And besides all these, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from hence. So Abraham said there was a great gulf between where he and Lazarus were, and where the rich man was. So this great gulf is the center of my split sermon today. This great separation between Lazarus and God. And I'll be centering my message on how we can close this gulf. How we can close this gulf so that Lazarus, Abraham, and the rich man will be in the same place of comfort. But before we talk about how we can close this gulf, it's very important that we first of all know how come about this gulf, this big and huge separation between God and man, that even a drop of water could not pass. How did this gulf come about? Who created this gulf? Was it God? Or the rich man? Well, we will see that in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 from verse 1. If you turn your Bible to Isaiah 59, let's see who created the gulf. Isaiah 59 from verse 1. Isaiah 59 from verse 1 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. For your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongues have muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." So this place, this portion of the Bible is telling us that our iniquity, our sins, is what separates us from God. It's what causes the gulf between us and God. And that was exactly what caused the gulf between Lazarus and God, the rich man, and God. So the rich man was the one who created that gulf between him and Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. He was the one who created the gulf, not God. God is not in the business of separating himself from man. God is in the business of uniting himself with man. After he sent Jesus Christ to come into the world and died to close the gulf that sin created between man and God, Jesus Christ came and closed it. And since that time, the Bible said his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And since Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, God has not left us. God found a place in our heart to make his abode, and now God lives inside of us. So God does not separate himself from man, but we are the ones that separate ourselves from God. And how we do it is when we abandon God, when we sin against God, when we go our own ways. And that was what the rich man did that created that great gulf between him and God. Now, how did he create this gulf? Let's see. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 35. Let's see how the rich man created the gulf. The sin that the rich man committed that created this gulf. And I want to say that this story, this parable that Jesus Christ gave here, have so many dimensions. Like I said before, I was concentrating on the gulf. Matthew 22, from verse 35. Matthew 22, from verse 35. I'll read. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" So Jesus Christ said, to love God with all our heart is the first commandment. And the second is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And the parable that Jesus Christ told us about the rich man and Lazarus, one was living in the palace and the other was living in the gutter. And Lazarus would come and see the rich man would come and see Lazarus in his condition, sick, hungry, naked, and he would do nothing about it. And every day, the rich man sees Lazarus and did nothing about it. The gulf between him and God continued to expand. And that was how he created this great gulf that existed between him and God. And if you also turn to the book of Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Matthew 25 from verse 41. Matthew 25 from verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hunger or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. So God will even judge us based on how we treated people around us, how much we loved our neighbors, and how much we hated our neighbors. If you look at the Ten Commandments, 8 out of the Ten Commandments has to do with man's relationship with another man. Only 2 has to do with God's relationship with man. Every other thing has to do with man to man. So God wants us to love people around us. And any day we don't love people around us, we are creating gulf between us and God. Any day we refuse to forgive our brothers and our sisters who have wronged us, and we refuse to forgive them, the gulf between us and God will continue to expand and increase in size. Any day we cannot make peace with our neighbors who have wronged us, that is how we create gulf between us and God. It's not all about riches or poverty. Jesus Christ was not encouraging poverty, and he was not saying that rich people will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Jesus Christ was focusing on sin. The way we treat our neighbors matter a lot to God. David took away his neighbor's wife and later killed his neighbor. And that created a great gulf between David and God. And God wanted to destroy David and his family. But David turned around and began to close the gulf between him and God. Began to confess his sin, and he repented from his sin. Brethren, that is how we create gulf between us and God. It's how we deal or how we treat people around us. Probably the rich man felt that Lazarus was of no importance to him. But God is not stupid. Everything that God makes, God does it for a purpose. When God said that the sun should shine every day, he did it for a purpose. And we know that the green plants manufacture their food from the sun. And that is how we all get fed. When God puts around us a people, a person, whoever they are, God did it for a purpose. And that purpose is for us to help each other to survive. Lazarus needed physical help from the rich man to survive. But the rich man also needed help from Lazarus to survive spiritually. What Lazarus could get from the rich man was temporary, but the rich man needed to love Lazarus in order to inherit eternal life. So any day we ignore our neighbors and we are not at peace with them, and we have strained relationship with them, whether they are our brothers and sisters in the church or our biological relatives, or even our neighbors, whoever they are that God has brought close to us. If we don't love them, if we don't render to them what God wants us to render to them, that is how we create gulf between us and God. Any other day we commit any sin and break any God's law with impunity. That is how we create gulf between us and God. And as an individual, we can create gulf between us and God, just like the rich man. A nation can separate themselves from God, like what happened with the people of Nineveh, who sinned against God and God was about to destroy it before they repented. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, we know the story very well. Even the entire world can reject God. Like those in the days of Noah, they rejected God. What did they do wrong? God said that there was violence in the land. Violence against who? Violence against man. Not God. Violence against man. So brethren, that is how we create the gulf between us and God. And when we create this gulf between us and God, what happens to us? Does it go down very well with us? Are we happy? We may be happy at the initial time, but later, we will surely be troubled. And let us see, if you turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 19. Jeremiah chapter 2, 19. Jeremiah 2:19. This is what happens when we separate ourselves from God. Say, thy own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy own backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, said the Lord of hosts. So our own wickedness will reprove us. Our own wickedness will reprove us, brethren. Whatsoever thing that we sow, that is what we will reap. If you go to the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Galatians 6, 7. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall reap. So brethren, let us not be mocked, let us not be deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he shall reap. And that was what happened to the rich man. He created that gulf between him and God. And he placed himself where he was. And this is exactly what happens when we sin against God, or when we fail to love our neighbors, our brothers and our sisters. So I will go to the solution. Like I said, I'll be concentrating on how to close this gulf. How can we close this gulf? Brethren, that is the question. That is the main thing. How to close this big gulf? Like I said before, God's commandment, part of God's commandment has to do with man, how we deal with ourselves, then and the others, how we deal with God. I said before it was 8 out of 10. But I have to revisit that again. But I'm sure part of the commandment is God to man and the other man to man. So brethren, how do we close this gulf? We've seen how this gulf was created in the first place in the parable that Jesus Christ gave. And this is exactly what happens to us. We need to evaluate ourselves every day by day. We need to ask ourselves questions. Are we creating gulf between us and God? Or are we closing the gulf between us and God? Are we creating gulf or are we closing gulf? We create gulf if we have strained relationship all over around us and we refuse to reconcile them. We create gulf when we sin against God. That is how we create it. But what about how to close it? Now, to close the gulf between us and God, we have to do the first thing first. First thing first. We have to start from where we are. We have to start from our house. We have to start from our neighborhood. Because if we don't close the gulf between us and another man, and we want to close the gulf between us and God, that may not work. So we have to start from where we are, from our family, from our relatives, from our children, from our parents, and other neighbors, to begin to close the gulf. What does that mean? We begin to forgive those who have wronged us. We ask for forgiveness, those we have wronged. We try to make amends. We try to stop things that cause conflict between us and others. We begin to have outgoing concerns for people around us. That is how we can begin to close this gulf. And if we go to the book of Matthew chapter 5, the book of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, from verse 22. Matthew 5:22. So Jesus Christ holds this at a high esteem, our relationship with one another, how we treat one another. Matthew 5:22. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother had aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first. Reconcile to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. So that is the first thing. The first thing is that we have to, first of all, reconcile with our brothers. We have to reconcile with people around us. We have to reconcile with brethren in the church. We have to reconcile with our biological relatives, anybody that we have anything against. We have to, first of all, close that gulf between us and them. Then we can begin to approach God. And that is the first thing that we need to do in order to close the gulf. So let's begin to close the gulf within, before we can begin to seek God. And the next thing, the second thing is, how do we close the gulf between us directly and God? If we have closed the gulf within our families, within our neighborhoods, then we can go to God and we can take this parable. Jesus Christ gave another parable in the book of Luke chapter 15 about another rich man who had two sons. And this parable, we call it the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son is a good model when we want to close the gulf between us and God. So please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 15, verse 11. Luke 15, 11. Luke 15, 11. The parable of the prodigal son. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substances in riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to citizens of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the hogs that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So this is how Jesus Christ taught us. This is how we can close the gulf between us and God. The prodigal son, his father gave him his inheritance, and he traveled to a far country. And you will notice that while he was busy traveling to his destination, the distance between him and his father continued to widen, continued to expand, till he got to the far country where he traveled to. He lost communication with his father. He lost his privileges that he used to enjoy from his father. But his father did not move an inch. His father remained at the same place where the prodigal son left him. And when the prodigal son realized himself, he first of all realized himself. Then he thought within himself that he would go back to his father. And after the thought, he went ahead to do what he thought, that he would go back to his father. He went back to his father. And every time he draws close to home, the relationship between the distance between him and his father, he was closing it up. He continued to close the gulf till his father embraced him. And there was no more gulf between him and his father. This is how we can close the gulf between us and God, which we have created. We must first of all realize our sins, and we will be willing to repent of that sin, not just willingness. We have to repent of our sins and turn to God and go back to God for forgiveness. And God is merciful, God is compassionate, and God will always welcome us back. We turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12. The book of Jeremiah chapter 3, 12. Jeremiah chapter 3, 12. Go and proclaim these words towards the north and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, said the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you. For I am merciful, said the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thy iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the stranger under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, said the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, said the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you once one of the city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. So God wants us to return. God is happy whenever we repent from our sins and we come back to him and we close that great gulf between us and God. The Bible says there is rejoicing in heaven anytime we do a thing like this. So brethren, we have the opportunity now that we can still talk, now that we can still bend our knees, now that we can still reason. We have the opportunity to close this gulf between us and God. And let us stop creating more gulfs between us and God. Let us remember to close these gulfs every day by day. And if we turn to the book of James chapter 4, verse 8. James 4:8. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. So anytime we draw closer to God, God is there. We are the ones that need to come close to God, because we are the ones that always separate ourselves from God. God wants us to close this gulf as a people. God wants us as a church to close this gulf between us and him. God wants us as a nation to close the gulf between us and God. And this is how to create it, to do the right thing before God. And I'm very happy today that we are fasting today, and some of us will continue the fast tomorrow. And this is very important, because this is one of the ways that we can close the gulf. When we humble ourselves, like the pastor said in his sermon last week, when we humble ourselves and repent from our sins, that is one of the ways that we can close this gulf. And if you turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Second Chronicles 7:14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. If God's people will humble themselves and call upon God, God says he will forgive our sins. And he will not just stop at forgiving our sins. He will also heal our land. So while we fast today or tomorrow, that is a good thing. But we have to also remember that it's not all about fasting and calling upon God. While we fast, we have to do the right thing. And if you go to the book of Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah chapter 58, let's see the fast that God wants. Isaiah 58, when we are closing the gulf between us and God, and we are fasting and humbling ourselves before God, this is what God wants us to do and how he wants us to think. Isaiah 58 verse 6. He says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of thy finger, and speaking of vanity. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. So while we fast, God wants action from us. So, brethren, that is how we create the gulf. That was how the gulf between Lazarus and the rich man was created. Like I said before, that gulf was created while both of them were alive. While both of them were alive, that was when that gulf was created. And that gulf was the same distance, the same gulf between the rich man and Lazarus, while both of them were alive. And that is how we create gulf. When we have strained relationship with one another, when we refuse to forgive those who have wronged us, and when we don't want to go to those that we have wronged and tell them, I'm sorry, forgive me. When we cannot reconcile with our own wife or our own husband, whom God has said, the two shall be one and no one shall put asunder. And we cannot reconcile and we cannot forgive. That is how we continue to create gulf between us and God. But if we begin to forgive, if we begin to love, if we begin to render to our neighbors what God commands us to render to them, that is how to close this gulf. If we come back to God and repent of our sins and forsake them and humble ourselves and seek God, we will find God and the heaven will rejoice over our decision to repent and come back to God. And that is how we can close this gulf. And what is the best time? When is the best time to close this gulf? Now is the best time to close this gulf. Now that we are still alive, because it's a matter of time, we will all become history. But now that we have the opportunity to close this gulf, let us close this gulf right now. And this gulf, when I say this gulf, I mean the relationship between us and God. Let's close this gulf right now. So, brethren, I want to go to the book of Luke, chapter 18. The book of Luke, chapter 18. I'm concluding. Luke 18. Luke 18, verse 8. Sorry, Luke 18, verse 8. Jesus Christ said in Luke 18, verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth? So Jesus Christ asked this question. When the Son of Man comes back to this world, shall he find faith? And I can tell you confidently, brethren, that Jesus Christ will find faith when he comes back to this world. He will find faith because God's people will continue to close the gulf between us and God. We will close the gulf between us and God so that when Jesus Christ comes back to this world, Jesus Christ will find faith. And I want to take you to the last scripture for this message today in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 21. Romans 16. Verse 21. Romans 16, 24 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. So brethren, I want to wish you a happy Sabbath again. And right now, I will turn the service back to our pastor, Mr. Louis Vanazzo.
Thank you, Mr. Nkocha. Thank you so much for your message.